Today's daf is about Metzia daf Mem Gimel. We got to daf Mem Gimel. Yes, we are on the top of the page, Mem Gimel Mem Aleph. We are at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Mafkin Maos Eitzel Shulchani. If a person gives as a pikadon money to a shulchani, to a money changer, so he always needs cash, he's always exchanging money for people. So the question is going to be, when you give that money to the shulchani to watch, are you assuming that he's going to use it? Or are you assuming that he's not going to use it? Are you asking him to watch it without using it? Or are you asking him to use it and just make sure that you get your money back eventually? So, im tsrurin lo yishtamish ben. If you gave him money that's all wrapped up, so then he's not allowed to use it. He has to assume that he got a package. He has to return that exact package to you, and he's not allowed to use it at all. L'fichach im avdu einu chayv b'achriyuson. And therefore, if it gets lost, he's not going to be chayv in the achrayus, because he's clearly not a shoel in that case, when he's not allowed to use it. He's not allowed to use it at all. So if it gets lost, whatever he is, he's putter on aveda, it seems. He's putter on something that, on losing the money. Mutarin, but if the money was not wrapped up, the money was loose, yishtamish ben, then he has the right to assume that he's allowed to use it. We assume that when you gave it to him, you were giving him the rights to use it. So if he loses it, he's going to be chayv in the achrayus. Now he's like a shoel. He's borrowing the money to use the money. So if he gets lost, he's certainly going to be chayv to reimburse you for that money. Eitzel balabayis, but if you give money to a balabayis, not a professional money changer, then ben tsurun ben mutarun lo yishtamish ben, you could assume when I give money to a friend who's not a money changer, whether I give it wrapped up or I give it loose, either way, the assumption is, the automatic assumption is, that he's not allowed to use that money, l'fichach imavdu, and therefore if it gets lost, eino chayev b'achriyusan. The balabayis is not going to be chayv in the achrayus of that money because he's not allowed to use it at all. What about something in between a money changer and a balabayis, a storekeeper who needs a cash register that's constantly working? So chenveni kebalabayis divra meir. Rameir says a chenveni is like a balabayis. He's not a money changer, and therefore when you give him money, the assumption is not, even if it's mutarin, the assumption is that he's not allowed to use it. You cannot assume that he's allowed to use it. Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda says no, chenveni. Granted, it seems that it's in between a balabais and a shulchani, but it seems much more kishulchani, that it's on the shulchani side. That a chenveni needs a cash register, he's always giving people change, he's always has money coming in and out of his shop, and therefore, when you give him money, and the money is mutarin, the money is untied, so it's not packaged in a bundle or anything, he certainly has the right to assume that he's entitled to use that money. So a couple of ha'aras. First of all, the Rishonim, specifically the Meiri, in the name of the Chachmei Provence, writes that this entire Mishnah is only when you give cash, when you give currency. But if you give coins that aren't currency in that Medina, that you give, for instance, chatichos kesef, you just give silver pieces, these pieces of silver that don't have, that are not a minted coin, so then it's just like giving any other object. It's not like giving money, and even if you give it to a shulchani, a money changer, he's not allowed to use it, and that would be a davar pashut. The shulchani changes currency. He doesn't change stam things of value. Furthermore, the Beis Yosef writes that the heter for the shulchani to use the money is only if you give it to him for a specific time period. But if you give him money and you tell him, look, I'm giving this money so that you can give it to somebody else. There's this guy who's going to come into your store today. I'd like for you to give him that money because I'm going to be out of town. So then he's not allowed to use it. The shulchani in that situation would have no right whatsoever to go and use the money prior to the time that the other person is coming into the store. It's like, because then he becomes like your shaliach. You're just asking him to do a job for you. You're not asking him to really hold on to the money. You're asking him to do a job, and while he's doing the job, to watch over the money. But certainly he's not allowed to take the money in that kind of situation. So that's number one. Number two, the Mordechai writes in Os Reish Tzadi Gimel, and this I'll quote exactly, he writes as follows, Pirush Rabbi Yehuda Igon. Rabbi Yehuda Igon writes, Keshem she'asur likros bo, kach asur lahatik mimenu, Afilu Osachas. This is going back on the Mishnah, Chavtes Amid Beis, about when someone is mafkid a Sefer Torah to his friend. So we said, every 12 months you can roll the Sefer Torah. Right? Every 12 months you have to air it out, so you roll the Sefer Torah from one end to the other. So Rabbi Yehuda Igon writes that it's Asr to read from the Torah, that just like it's Asr to read from the Torah, so too it's Asr Lahatik Mimenu, to copy from the Torah, afilu os achas shelo b'rishus. Even a single letter, if you don't have permission to copy from that Sefer Torah. V'hani mili bibor. But that's only if the guy that's watching the Sefer Torah is not maritz, he's a nothing, he's a nobody. Aval chaver v'tamul chacham, mutu likros bo, umutu lahatik mimenu. But if the guy who's watching the Sefer Torah is a Talmud Chacham, he's someone who learns, he's allowed to read from it, he's allowed to copy from the Sefer Torah, and if he's writing his own Sefer Torah, and he needs to be matic from that Sefer Torah, v'afilu l'chadchila shelo b'rishos, and even l'chadchila, and even without ever getting rishos from the guy who owns the Sefer Torah, emein l'chayotzibo, if he doesn't have any other Sefer Torah to copy from. Why? L'fi shekshev kidu etzlo ha'yodea sh'anifkat chaver v'yilamid bo. Because I know when I'm giving a Sefer Torah to a Talmud Chacham and to a Chaver that he's going to want to learn with it, and therefore it's assumed that he's allowed to learn with it. But das kein hivki that's low, it's al das that that the Bikadon worked. Just like, and here's where it connects to our Mishnah, kemar mafkin mal seitzol shulchani, kshein mutar mishtamish ben. Says, why is it when you give cash to a shulchani, the shulchani is allowed to use it? Why is it any different than giving it to a balabais? I want my money, I want you to watch my money. No, but if I'm giving it to someone that's his business, that's what he does, so I expect him to do with this money what he does with money. What he does with money is he changes money and he uses money. So if I expect him to do with this what he does with this with the money, and that's what he does all the time, so that's the assumed das. So over here as well, when I give the Sefer Torah to a regular guy, so a regular guy, I could ask him not to use it. If I give the Sefer Torah to a Talmud Chacham, that's what he does. He learns. So I assume that he's going to learn. Shema atam mishum. Okay, then he quotes Medrash and Mishle. Fine. So the Ramah quotes this Mordechai in some Reish Sadi Beis. Ramah quotes this Mordechai halach lemaisa, and the Achronim on the Shulchan Aruch, the Nosikim on the Shulchan Aruch, the Sma and the Shach have a machlokas. What about if you know that the guy who gave it to you is Makbid, meaning you know that the guy who gave you the Sefer Torah doesn't want you using the Sefer Torah, even though you're a Chaver Talmud Chacham. So, meaning, it boils down to what this din is really about. Is this din, this Aldas Kain, that he gave it to you, Aldas that you can use it because you're a Talmud Chacham, is that because you think he wants you to use it and he's okay with it? Or it's, no, special din in Talmud Chacham that you're allowed to use it anyway, what regardless of what he wants. So the Sma and the Shach disagree about this. The Sma writes, the heter is only bestam. If you know that he's makbid about it, then absolutely not. You're not allowed to go and use it.
The same as if he's giving him giving the shulchani the
most true. Good. Yeah.
Tell him to hold it, and because someone's gonna come and pick it up.
Like the Beis Yosef. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. So that would be the sma. The shach, however, is marich to try to explain that even when he's makbid, he's allowed to, even when he's makbid, the guy is still allowed to use the Sefer Torah. And he says it based on, because the Mordechai, I didn't mention this, but the Mordechai quotes a Medrash and Mishle on a Pasuk that seems to indicate that I'll tell you the Medrash. The Medrash says, on a Pasuk, lo yavozu leganav ki yignov lemali nafsho ki yirav, right, that don't embarrass the ganav when he steals because he's hungry to satiate his soul. So what does that mean? You can't embarrass a ganav when he steals. So says the Medrash, she'im levazos mi shegonev divrei Torah u'ma'atikan. That you can't be mevazos, someone who steals divrei Torah and writes over, copies over that divrei Torah, those divrei Torah. So the Shach says the main point of emphasis in the Mordechai is not what he says, that the guy's not makbid, or that, you know, it's al das kein. No, the main point of emphasis is that Medrash, where the Medrash says, dafka by Divrei Torah, when it comes to Divrei Torah, you can't have hakpadus on Divrei Torah. If someone's a Talmud Chacham and he wants to learn Torah, and he wants to copy over the Divrei Torah, so that's not Gneva. He's allowed to copy over Divrei Torah, even if you're not interested in allowing him to do so, which would have interesting ramifications in terms of borrowing Sfarim. When I was in Yeshiva, there used to be some guys who would always write in, most guys would write in the Sfarim, Hashem Aratim Lava, right, and just, Nala Hachzil Mekoma, just please return it. Some guys would write, you know, these whole Megillahs about, if you use a Sefer, you're a Ganav and a Gazlan, and you're going to Gehenna, and, you know, I'm not Mochel, and, you know, whatever, and they would write these, so it's a question, do they have the right to do that? Now, they certainly have the right to say, you have to return it back to my place, or at least don't, or even not take it out of my place, because I want to have it when I find it. In fact, Rashi used to quote that Rav Aaron Cutler held that it's, that it's geneva to take a sefer off the shelf in the yeshiva and not put it back in the right place, because someone's going to be walking around looking for that sefer and they're never going to be able to find it because he didn't bother putting the sefer back. But what about when someone writes, "I don't want you to use it," and you're just going to look at it in that spot? So l'chora, that's this Mordechai, that's this Rama. Remember, Rav Shiva in Karmi Yavna gave a big mussar shmuz about that. He said, "What kind of rishus is that?" He said, "Kofen al midas sedom." You know, what kind of midas sedom is that you're going to write in the sefer? Rav Shiva said, "I'm in the Beis Medrash 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. No one else is here, and you know, I want to use the sefer." And then I see, no, you got to. Probably the guy didn't have the Rosh Hashiva in mind, but still, you know, he thought that it wasn't appropriate. Okay, anyway,
does
let's.
That have similar ramifications to copying things that an art scroll strictly says?
Well, copyright issues. Yeah, that's a whole other thing. You know, Svarim started getting Haskamos. If you read the Haskamos in a lot of early Svarim, they're not really about the Sefer. Many of the early Haskamos are just to verify that this sefer belongs to this guy, in the sense that the content of it belongs to this guy, and don't print it without permission. So printing a sefer without permission, making money off of it, or something like that, or depriving the person of the money that he could make from the sefer, is a serious issue. But if he's talking about money, just to learn from it, I just want to use it. I want to take notes. I want to do something like that. That's a different thing. But to actually take. To steal intellectual property is a major issue in Hasadas Kavul. Is a major discussion in the Achronim, the Shuvas Rama, with the printing of the Rambam. There's major discussions about this. I know of David Willig in DRS. I always wondered whenever he made Marma Kamos for his Talmidim, he'd copy a Minchas Chinuch. So now Machron Yishlaim has these beautiful Minchas Chinuchs that are very clear, and he'd copy like the old Rashi script that was like. I always asked him why he would photo, and I once asked him, why do you photocopy that one? You know, make it a little easy for the boys to learn. But Kivega writes in the Hakdamah to his Tshuvas that one of his only Hakpadas with his Tshuvas that they be printed in a nice print, because people will learn it more if it's printed in a nice print. It will be more pleasant to the eyes, and a person's gonna be more interested in learning it. So I said, well, why are you doing this to the Talmidim? Half of them don't even know how to read all the Rashi letters anymore, because who writes in Rashi letters? But even Rashi sometimes aren't printed in Rashi letters in certain Sfarim. But anyway, so so he said no, because the Machon Yerushalayim edition has a copyright. We don't even photocopy a page for the Marma Komos. I don't know how makbid they are on these copyrights. Very okay, it's a little bit far afield. Let's get back to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Mishum Tetru and Lo Yishtamish Ben. Why, just because the money is bundled up, so the guy's not allowed to use it? Says Rashi explains what exactly is bothering the Gemara. Bitmiha umag giloy das yesh kan shein chafet she yishtamish behem. Where's the giloy das that he doesn't want you to use it just because he gives it to you piled up? Look, if they're untied, we said the guy's allowed to use it. Why? Because I know the guy's a money changer. He always needs money. So says Rashi in explaining the Gemara. People generally don't keep their money loose. They keep their money tied up in a bundle. So when it's Tsurin also, I'm just giving him money the way I normally keep it, but shouldn't we have that same assumption that when I'm giving him the money, I'm expecting him to do what he normally does with money, which is to use it? So that's the Gemara's kasha. Says the Gemara back inside, Amar Avasi, Amar Avyuda, Vitsurin v'chasum in Shana. Now we're talking about not only where it's bundled up, but it's sealed as well. And that's an indication that you don't want anyone to use it. You want it to remain this way. Rav Mari Amar Bekeshem Rishuna. Rav Mari says, no, it's with an unusual type of knot. Igad Amri Bay Rav Mari Keshem Rishuna Maya. Others say, not that Rav Mari said this definitively about a Keshem Rishuna, but that Rav Mari raised it as a Shaila. Right? What's the halacha by a Keshem Rishuna? Would you assume that the guy doesn't want you to use it? Mary's okay with you using it, so teku. So the Gemara leaves it as a teku. Mutar nishtamish ben v'chulei. So the key over here is the v'chulei. The comment is not going to be about mutar nishtamish ben. The comment is going to be that since the shulchani is allowed to use the money, so therefore if it gets lost, he's going to be chayiv in the achrayus for the money. So says the Gemara, Am rafuna v'afilu nensu. He's going to be chayiv in the achrayus even if it's not just that it gets lost or stolen. There's an onus that happens. Lightning strikes, or whatever, some terrible illness occurs, and nevertheless, he's going to be chayiv to pay for it. So, obviously, the only person who's chayiv when there's no ness is a shoel. So, right, Vafilu Nensu says Rashi, Vafilu Nensu kam nasis in the Chayv Bachri Yusan. When our Mishnah says Yechayv in the Achrayis, it's even if there's an onus, Vafilu lo nishtamish behen, even if you didn't use it, how are you shol if you didn't use it? The mehashta havishol alayu. For the moment he gives it to you and you have the right to use it, you have the din of a shol. You're accepting upon yourself the status of a shol. And therefore, if an onus happens, you're going to be responsible. So, frak the Gemara, how can you say, even if it's an onus that happens, the Mishnah said, im avdu. The Mishnah said, if it gets lost, you're chayiv b'achri yusan. Va'avdu katani. It does not say nensu. And says the Gemara, kidderabba, damarabba, nignavu, b'listamizuyin. When it says nignavu, we assume it means listamizuyin, which is a kind of onus. And avdu, shetavis finasubiyan. And when it says avdu, we assume it means also an onus. It means that your boat drowns. It doesn't mean that it's stam a regular aveda. It's the onus kind of aveda. So when the Mishnah uses the word avdu, it's not a regular aveda. It's an onus kind of aveda. Now the Achronim point out that if that's the case, the word avdu is used twice in our Mishnah, and each time it means something else. Right? We said in tsurur and lo yishtamish ben, and if it's tied up, if money is tied up, then the guy is not allowed to use it. And therefore, if it's ne'evad, he's not chayv in the achrayis. So does that also mean if it's onus, if an onus happens, he's not chayv in the achrayis? Of course, if an onus happens, he's not chayv in the achrayis. That's being mechadesh, that even if it's a real aveda, if it's a regular aveda, he's not chayv in the achrayis. And in the next line, we're saying, when you're allowed to use it, im avdu chayv b'achri yusan, according to Rav Huna, right? Im avdu chayv b'achri yusan means that avdu with an onus. Not just the regular Aveda. So the word Aveda appears twice in the Mishnah, means two different things. So you have to say that no, the word Aveda means both. Each time in the Mishnah, right? It means that you're chayv, in the case where it's Tsurin, you're chayv b'achri yusan in the case that it's Tsurin, you're chayv b'achri yusan. I'm sorry, you're not chayv b'achri yusan. Whether even if it's a real Aveda, obviously if it's an onus, you're also not chayv b'achri yusan. And in the case where it's mutarin, you are chayv b'achri yusan, even when it's an onus, but also when it's a regular aveda, obviously. So therefore, it means both in both cases. It's also interesting, we mentioned yesterday, Tosus had this discussion yesterday, what if you take an object that you're supposed to watch, and you bury it 100 amos underground? Right. So when it gets stolen from there, is that called geneva, or is that called onus? So Tosfos wanted to bring a raya from the fact that every time we need to come up with a case of geneva that's really an ones, every single time the example the Gemara gives is lista mezuyin. A case where something gets stolen that's really an ones is when it was bandits with armed robbers that come and take it from you. Says Tosfos, why didn't the Gemara give another example where I bury it 100 amos underground and someone on an archaeological dig finds it and steals it? Isn't that an onus also? So it sounds like burying it underground, no matter how deep, isn't called an onus. Sounds like the only onus is listed mezuyah, which is interesting. Rav Nachman Amar Nen Tzulo. Rav Nachman disagrees with Rav Huna. He says, no. When it's mutarin, we said you're going to be chayv b'achri yusan, but not if an onus happens. You're only going to be chayv b'achri yusan if it's regular geneva v'aveda. An onus happens, you're not going to be chayv b'achri yusan. Now, Tosos, early in the Masechta, a couple of weeks ago in Daf Chav Tes, pointed out that this machlokas, Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, whether you're chayiv in the achrayas of ones, when the money is given to you mutarin, when the money is given to you loose, that machlokas fits beautifully, is in line with the machlokas between Rabba and Rav Yosef regarding a shomer aveda who's allowed to use the aveda. What's his status? The Rav Huna held that Rav Huna, who holds that a shulchani is chayiv even ba'ones, will hold like Rav Yosef, that a shomer aveda is allowed to use the aveda as a din of a shoel. It's the same achlokas, that he would have a din of a shoel, and therefore he'd be chayiv in everything. And Rav Nachman, who says that a shulchani is pater from onsin, would hold like Rav Yosef that a shomer aveda that's allowed to use the aveda is not going to be a shoel. He's only going to be a shomer sachar. And Tosfos uses our machlokas to determine the halacha in that machlokas. Tosfos says, you see, that since we paskin like Rav Nachman, that the shulchani has a din of shomer sachar, so you have to say that heter tashmish, being allowed to use something, does not necessarily make you a shoel. being allowed to use something may still leave you only as a Shomer Sachar. So by a Shomer Aveda as well, even where there's a Heter Tashmish, that doesn't make you a Shoel, that only makes you like a Shomer Sachar. Rabbeinu Ephraim disagrees with Tosfos. And Rabbeinu Ephraim suggests that no, that Heter Tashmish can make you a Shoel in certain cases, could make you a Shomer Sachar in certain cases. It depends what your starting point was. Meaning, when we're talking about over here where you're watching a Pikadon, so what are you when the guy asks you to watch a Pikadon and he's not paying you? You're a Shomer Chinam. So then, if you have a Heter Tashmish on top of that, that's going to turn you into a Shomer Sachar. It's only going to bring you one level down, or up, depending which way you go. But it's only going to change you one level. By the Shomer Aveda, where you have your starting point, is that you're a Shomer Sachar. If you have a Heter Tashmish, it's going to move you one level, and therefore it's going to turn you into a Shel. So that's the Machlokas Rishonim, whether this Machlokas is going to bear, to shed any light on that Machlokas. Okay, so Zumar Vaiter, Amalei Rava, L'Rav Nachman. Rava says Rav Nachman, again, you say that if there's an onus that occurs when someone gives the Shulchani untied money, that if an onus occurs, he's putter. So clearly you're saying he's not a Shoel. But let me ask you something. If he's not a Shoel, that means he's not benefiting at all, meaning prior to spending it, he didn't use it at all, and therefore we assume he didn't get any benefit. Well, if he didn't get any benefit, why is he considered a Shomer Sachar? He's not getting paid. He's not getting paid to watch it. The only schar he might be getting is the fact that he's allowed to use it. But if he didn't use it, so therefore he's not a Shoel yet, you're going to say the fact that he didn't yet use it means he's not yet a Shoel. So if he didn't yet use it, he didn't get paid anything either. So he's not a Shomer Sachar either. So Amalei Bahamudin Alach, Tolvi Nana Mahana. He says, no, since he is Nana, it's considered that he's a Shomer Sachar. What does that mean? Bahu Anadi Mistramili Zvina Dispe Ravcha Zavin Bahu Havelai Shomer Sachar. The right to use it is a certain gishmak. The fact that he knows, that he has the security of knowing, that if a really good deal were to present itself, he would be able to use it and be able to spend it on something, so that itself is his schar. And therefore he's considered a Shomer Sachar for that alone. Eser of Nachman Rafuna, Mafkin, Mosei Tzol Shulchani, someone gives a pikadon of money to a Shulchani, Im Tzrur and Lo Yishtamish Ben. If the money is tied up, you can't use it. Lefichach, Im Hotzi Lo Ma'al HaGizbar. Not someone gives money to a Shulchani. We're talking over here where the Gizbar of Hegdish gives money to a Shulchani. He takes Hegdish money and gives it to a Shulchani. So quick introduction over here. One of the only exceptions to Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, one of the only places where we say Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera, that if I ask you to do an Avera for me, and you do the Avera, I'm going to be Chayiv, right? Not just the Shliach, but the Mishaleach is going to be Chayiv, is by Mi'ila. And normally we say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Misham, and I ask you to do an Avera, and you're stupid enough to do it, normally you're going to be Chayiv. And we've discussed the Chakira in the past, what does Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Misham really mean? Does it mean that I never expected you to do it because I didn't think you'd be so foolish to listen to me against the Ribbono Shel'olam? Or no, I expected you to do it, but you should have known better. You deserve to be chayiv because you should have known better. Not that nothing to do with my expectation and whether you're really my shliach based on my own expectations. Okay, so we discussed nafkaminas and nachakira. Let's say I know that you're an avari and this is something you do all the time. This is, it's your Avera. You happen to be a good guy in general, but this is the Avera that you do all the time. So then when I ask you to do it, it's hard for me to say that I didn't expect you to do it. It's known that this is what you do, right? So it depends what the Svara is. But the exception to Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera is Mi'ila. So now let's go back in the Gemara. So what's the Shailan Rafuna? Again, Rafuna was one that said that he's even Chayv in Onsin. You give him Ma'os Mutarin, he's Chayv in Onsin even before he used it. Why? He becomes a Shoel as soon as he takes possession of the money. Shulchan becomes a Shoel as soon as he takes possession of the money, even if he hasn't yet used it. So what's going to be the Raya? Hamafkin Moses, so Shulchani, the Gizbar gives money of Hegdish to the Shulchani. Im Tzrurin Lo Yishtamish Ben. If the money is tied up, Shulchani shouldn't use it. Lefichach Mahotzi, therefore if the Shulchani does use it, Loma ala Gizbar. The Gizbar never gave the Shulchani the right to use it, and therefore it's the Shulchani's problem. It's his Mi'ila. It's not the Gizbar's Mi'ila. Vimutarin, but if it's untied money, where the Shulchani is, where the Gizbar is essentially with a wink and a nod saying, yeah, go ahead and use it, so Mutarin Yishtamish Ben, then the Shulchani assumes that he can use it. lefichachim hotzi, and therefore, if he goes and he spends it, mal hagizbar, the mishaleach is going to be chayiv because yesh shliach ledvar avera by mi'ila. But wait a second, but if you hold that when an ones occurs, the guy becomes a shoel from the moment he takes possession of it, even before he uses it. So Mayir Hotzi, why would you say that the gizbar is chayiv as soon as the shulchan spends it? As soon as he took possession, he sent it out, it's no longer in the possession of Hekdesh. Afilu lo hotzinami, as soon as he took possession of it, he should be chayiv because it's no longer in the possession of Hekdesh. So Amalei says, yeah, hu adin afakav de lo hotzi, you're right. It really means that he's going to be chayiv, that the gizbar is going to be chayiv because it's ki'ilu yimeinu mishliach, even if he wasn't hotzi. It's already outside of the rishus of hekdesh as soon as the shulchani takes possession of it, even if he doesn't spend it. Vaydi tana resha hotzi, tana sefer nami hotzi. But since the resha says hotzi, so the sefer says hotzi as well. But enochinami, in the case of the sefer where it's ma'us mutarin, so it's lav dafka if he's hotzi or not hotzi. Okay, new mishnah. Hashaleich yad bepikadon. A person misappropriates a pikadon. He decides to use the pikadon inappropriately. So Beishamai omrim yilaka b'chaser b'yaser. Beishamai says he's going to be chayiv whether it goes up in value or down in value. The guy is shaleach yad, the shomer on the pikadon is the one that's going to have to lose whatever money. Meaning if it goes down in value, he's going to pay for what it was worth when he first got it, when it was still at its highest point. If it had gone up in value by the time he was shaleach yad, you know what happens is, I take a pikadon to watch on January 1st. February 1st, I'm shaleach yad and I ruin it. So the item was worth $100 on January 1st, $50 on February 1st. What do I pay? So Beishamai says $100. It was worth $50 on January 1st, $100 on February 1st. Beishamai says, what do I pay? $100. You always pay the higher amount. That's Beishamai Shita. Beisil says, no, you pay the amount that it was worth at the time of Hotza'a. The Gemara will explain exactly what that time is. What's Hotza'a? Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kishas HaTzvia. And Rabbi Akiva says, you pay the amount that it's worth at the time that the guy brings you to a Din Torah. Whatever it was worth at the time of the Din Torah, so that's what you're going to pay. So I'm a rabbi, hi man, the gozal chavisa decham mechavre. A guy went and stole a barrel of wine from his friend, meikar shavizuza hashta shaviar ba'a, and then wine prices skyrocketed. It initially was worth one zuz, and now it's worth four zuz. Tavra ushasya mishalim arba'a. If he breaks it or drinks it, he breaks the barrel or he drinks it, he's going to pay four zuz. Itbar memela mishalim zuza. If it breaks on its own, the ganav didn't break it, it breaks on its own, he's only going to have to pay a zuz, which was the value when he stole it. My time, what's the reason for these halachos? Kivendi isa hadra lamar ba'ina. So look, before it broke, if it were still around, what would I have to return to the guy? Would I have to return money? No, I'd have to return the barrel of wine itself. So therefore, he shaited the kashasi le the katavala. So in the case where I broke it or I drank it, at the moment that I broke it or I drank it, I'm stealing. Because at that point, I would have a chiyuv hashava to take this barrel and give it back to the guy. When I'm ruining that possibility by drinking it or breaking it, I'm stealing the barrel from him. At that time, and at that time it's worth four zuz, so that's why I'd have to pay four zuz. Utnana, we know, kol gazlanim, mishal mikshas gzela. Gazlanim always have to pay kishas gzela, they always have to pay what it's worth at the time of the gzela. It's interesting, machlokas ktsos and asivas about what his chiv over here is. His chiv over here midin gezel, or his chiv over here midin mazik. But okay, we're not going to get into it now, time is running out. Itvar memela, mishalim zuza. If it breaks on its own, then you only pay a zuz. My time, why do you only pay a zuz if it breaks on its own? Hashalav luvlamidi, because I didn't do anything right now. You're going to tell me I'm chayv for what? What action am I chayv to pay for? Right now I didn't do anything. It was just sitting there and it exploded. It spontaneously combusted. I didn't do anything. So when am I going to be chayv? Am I kama chayv aslay? Hayishai to the gazla. The only action that I did that was wrong was the moment that I stole it. So that I'm going to be chayv, but I hishay to zuz avashavya, but at that moment that I stole it, it was still only worth a zuz. Tanan, we have a Mishnah. Beisil lo mekshas hotza, Beisil says you pay the amount that it's worth at the hotza'a. My kshas hotza'a. What does our Mishnah mean when it says, what does Beisil mean when they say kshas hotza'a? So ilim kshas hotza'a mina olam, if it means to say at the time that I destroy it, that I take it out of this world, or b'may, well what's the case? Ibachaser, if it went down in value, Mikal Mandi Amar, really? You're going to say that I pay the lesser amount, the amount that it's worth at the time it goes out of the world? V'atnan, kol gazal mishal mukshas gzela. We generally say, they always pick Shas HaGzela, which is not when I was motzi from the world, you would pay from the Shas HaGzela. VBS, and if you want to say that Beis Hillel is talking about I pay the Shas HaTza'ah at the time that I destroy it, if it went up in value till the time that I destroyed it, so that's wonderful, it's a great shita, but Hainu Beis Shammai. That's already Beis Shammai shita, and you wouldn't want Beis Hillel agreeing with Beis Shammai over here. Sela Pshita. So it must mean Kishas Hotsami Beis Balim. It means at the time that I take it, that I originally steal it from the Beis Balim. And the Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is if it goes up after that. The Beis Shammai says, if it goes up after I stole it, if it goes up in value, I would pay the higher value. And Beis Hillel says, no, whatever it was worth when I stole it from the Beis Balim, that's always what I'm going to have to pay. Up value, down value, I don't care. Whatever it was worth at that time, that's what it's going to have. That's what I'm going to have to pay. So, Lema, Rabba, the Yamaka Beis Shammai. So does that mean to say then that Rabba holds like Beis Shammai? So, meaning Rabba is the one that said that it's not always, that you don't always pay Kishas HaGazela, that if it went up in value, and then your Tavro Shasya, right? Right, that Rabba was one that said the halacha, if you break it or drink it after it went up in value to 4 zuz, you're going to pay the 4 zuz. So you're telling me that Rabba holds like Beis Shammai? The Beis Hillel would say, you always pay Kishas HaGazela. So that's crazy, but Rabba can't be holding like Beis Shammai. So Amalucha Rabba, V'yesra Kuli Amalu Pli. You know, Rabba would say to you, if it goes up in value, there's no question. Beis Hillel would agree that you'd pay the higher value. Ki pligi b'chaser. What if it goes down in value? That's where there's machlokas. Beis Shammai says v'shlichus yad in shlichus aron. Beis Shammai says that for shlichus yad you don't have to devalue it. V'chichaser b'rishusa didei chaser. And therefore, when it became lower value, it was in his own rishus that it became lower value. Beis Hillel says shlichus yad shlichus aron. V'chichaser b'rishusa demari chaser. Beis Hillel says no. It was in the possession of the original owner where it went down in value, and therefore the original owner is the one that takes the hit on the chaser when it goes down in value. Whereas Beis Shammai says that it's always going to be the ganav that takes the hit on the chaser. That's the machlokas. So says Gemara, oh yeah, if that's the machlokas, Allahadam Rav, Shlichus Yad in Shrich Chsarim, Lema Rav Damak Beis Shammai. So if you're going to say Beis Shammai is still arguing about Shlichus Yad Shrich Chsarim in Shrich Chsarim, it's going to be a big problem, because then Rav who holds Shlichus Yad in Shrich Chsarim is locked in to hold like Beis Shammai. Now the case over here is you're moving it to reach something, using it as a step stool. And they're arguing about a situation of shol shlomidas. When you borrow without permission, you have no intent to steal it. You're borrowing without permission. Beis Shammai savri shol shlomidas gazlan havi v'chichaser b'rishusa didei chaser. Beis Shammai says you're a gazlan if you're a shol shlomidas, borrowing without permission. There's a word for that. It's called stealing. Beis Shammai says, and therefore, if it goes down in value, it goes down in the value of the shoel, so to speak, shoel, the guy who's stealing it. Beis Hillel savri shol shlomidas shoel havi. Beis Hillel says no, shol shlomidas has the din of a shoel. And therefore, when it goes down in value, it goes down in value in the rishus of the original owner, and that's not your problem, that's not the shoel's problem. He doesn't have to pay for the decrease in value. Elahadam Rava, shoel shlomidas rabbanon gaznavi, lema Rava damar kabei shamai, it says Gemara. But wait a second, Rava who says that shoel shlomidas is a gazlan, according to the rabbanon, then Rava is going like Beis Shammai. Rava is saying that if the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is about Shaul Shlomidas, whether he's a gazlan or not, and Beis Shammai is the one who says he's a gazlan, so Rava, who also holds he's a gazlan, would have to be going like Beis Shammai. We certainly don't want that. Elahacha b'shevach shel gzeila kamifli. Over here, we're not arguing about chesser v'yeser in the sense that it goes up in value, but rather the byproducts of the animal, the gizos, the vlados, that which it goes up in value when it becomes pregnant, when it has shearings, when wool grows on it. So Beis Shammai savri shevach gezela de nigzal havi. Beis Shammai says all of that shevach goes to the nigzal. Or Beis Hillel savri shevach gezela de gazlan havi. That the shevach gezela goes to the gazlan. Beplug to dani tanayim, and it's really machlokas in the following tanayim. Ditanya hagozel as harachel, you steal a sheep. Gazes of yalda, and you shear it, and you get wool out of it, or it has a baby. Mishalim osaves kizoseh aves glodoseh divra meir. You pay it and its babies and its gizos and everything. According to Rameir, Rabbi Domer gzela chazeres beinei. Rabbi says no, you just return the gzela, but not everything else. They could not, and so it seems that the Rameir lines up with Beis Shammai, and Rabbi Huda lines up with the Beis Hillel. And it's meduyik as well that we're talking about gizos vlados because it says chesser v'yeser. It doesn't say zul v'yoker. Zul v'yoker would mean going up in value, going down in value. Chesser v'yeser implies that it grows something, that the animal grew a baby, it grew wool, something like that. So that's the diuk. Shema mino, you see, that taka is the machlokas. B'sham v'yisil. Rabbi Kiva omer k'shasa tvir. Rabbi Kiva says, no, you look at the time that it was toveim in Bezin. Amar Rabbi Yudah Mishmal, halach Rabbi Akiva. We pass like Rabbi Akiva. Modi Rabbi Akiva, b'makom sheyesh edim. Rabbi Akiva's modi if there are edim. Meaning, if there are edim, how much it was worth on the day that it was stolen, and they saw that he stole it from him, then Rabbi Akiva would be modi, you would pay k'shasa gzela. The only reason you pay k'shasa at the time of Hamad Bedin is because we don't know how much it was worth. We can't know exactly how much it was worth at the time of the Gzela. My time, Madam Krala, Sharulo, Yinanu, Biyamashma, so. Since there are edim from that time, so the good, then we know exactly what he should pay. So as long as there are edim, then it's fine. You would pay kishas gzela. Amar Rav Yosha Rav Yehuda, Rabbi Ato Amar Kain. Rav Yosha says Rav Yehuda, yeah, you say that we pass him like Rabbi Akiva. Hachi Amar Basi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Chalukai Rabbi Akiva Filu Makom Sheyesh Edim. You say that Rabbi Akiva holds even if there are edim at the shas gzela, if there are edim at the shas gzela, then we would pay kishas gzela. But I heard that from in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Even when they're raiding, that even if they're raiding at the Shas Akzel, the Rabbi Kiva would still pay. You only pay Kshas Tfiyah Bedin. You wouldn't pay Kshas Akzela. My time out, Dharma Kra, and he darshan's apostle, Shara lo yinanu biyamash maso. Ubeidino, who deka mechayiv ilay ashma, that it's the Bezdin was mechayiv him. And since it's the Bezdin that's mechayiv him, it's Kishas hamada bedin bifnei the Bezdin. So which is it? Does Rabbi Kiva agree or disagree in the case where they arrayed him at the original Gzela? So I'm a little bit saying that Rabbi Abbar Papa, Kizalta lahasam akafasaloma de tsurva ol gabid Rabbi Yaakov Baridi. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, find Rabbi Yaakov Baridi. Apparently, Rabbi Yaakov Baridi was one of the most well known and reliable Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. Maritz Chayes points out over here from elsewhere in Shas. We see Rabbi Yaakov Baridi. If you want to know Rabbi Yochanan's real shit, you got to find Rabbi Yaakov Baridi and ask him. So, find out what he says about the halacha following Rabbi Akiva and whether they raid him at the beginning, whether Rabbi Akiva would still argue. Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, liolam. My liolam, what does liolam mean? Am ravashi shlota marani min eichad delak eidim av eichad dik eidim lohu. Don't say that it's only true that we would follow the shas tviya bedin when there are no eidim, but when there are eidim, we would go with the shas gzeila. No, don't say that. You would always go kshas amad bedin. The inami da hadra l'duchta v'itbra lafukim id Rabbi Shmal. Or he might mean by liolam that even if you returned it back to its place without informing the original owner that you have returned it, and then it breaks, that you're still going to be chayiv. And that's coming to preclude the shita of Rabbi Ishmael, Damar Lobin and Das Bailam, who says that it's called that you returned it. We had Rabbi Ishmael a number of times already, that when you put it back in where you found it, even if you never told the Bailam you put it back, that's called Ahashava. Kamash Milan, Dabin and Das Bailam. Therefore comes to tell us that you need Das Bailam. So bottom line, we had Beishamai, we had Beisil, we had Rabbi Akiva. How do we really paskin? Rav Amar halachik Beis Hillel. Rav says we pass him like Beis Hillel. Rashi says kshas kzeila va'anan kirava avdinan. So even though Rabbi Yochanan paskin like Rabbi Akiva, Rava paskins like Beis Hillel, and says Rashi, we paskin like Beis Hillel because Rava's Basra, and the halacha is Hilchsa Kabasra after the times of Rav and Shmuel, and Rava was after the times of Rav and Shmuel, so we're going to paskin like Rava. Okay, Meretz Hashem, we'll pick up in the Mishnah and finish Rav HaMafkid tomorrow.